sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. A comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, oh, why did you ever go? Oh, won't you please come back and entertain us? I long to turn the dial again, to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you so.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Time once again to settle into your favorite easy chair for another hour of vintage radio. Later on, it's Mystery and Intrigue with Barry Craig, confidential investigator. But first, let's head out west for some adventure with Hopalong Cassidy. Hopalong Cassidy came to Mutual in January of 1950 after early day television screenings of the 1930s films made the character a national sensation. In 1934, Harry Sherman got film rights and hired William Boyd. Under Boyd, Hoppy would never smoke, always believed in fair play, and forever refused to touch hard liquor. The Hopalong Cassidy show was a distinctive cowboy detective series. Listeners seldom knew the identity of the evil ones until Hoppy tripped them up and brought them to justice. Hoppy was foreman of the Bar 20 Ranch, but spent far more time chasing owl hoots than punching cows. Hopalong's companion of adventure was grizzled old California Carlson, played by Andy Klein. The program was first heard on Sundays for General Mills, and Cassidy moved to Saturday on CBS from 1950 through the show's conclusion in 1952. Return with us now to those fabulous days of yesteryear with Hopalong Cassidy and the case of the Red Death from April of 1950. Another classic program from the radio vault of yesteryear.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent, then we went to Canyon. Sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Merton Marr, Jameis, and Andy. I long to turn the dial again, to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you. Sodio, vodio, dodio, do.
It's Hopalong Cassidy. With action and suspense, out of the Old West comes the most famous hero of them all, Hopalong Cassidy, starring William Boyd. The ring of the silver spurs heralds the most amazing man ever to ride the prairies of the early West, Hopalong Cassidy. This famous hero thrills his 60 million fans with action and dangerous adventure. In the role of Hopalong Cassidy is the popular star of the motion picture series, William Boyd. And appearing as that laughable old character, California, is Andy Clyde. Now to our story, The Red Death. It was a long ride to make, even for a friend like Kit Cavanaugh. South from the cool rolling hills of the Bar 20 to the Mesa Country, from a land marked with place names like Peepsite and Deadwood, to the Alkali Desert still carrying the stamp of the Spaniards, to the Arena de la Muerte, the Desert of Death, to Alta Mesa and to the Rio Andiendo, the mysterious stream which suddenly vanishes underneath the ground.
Well, California.
Well, Hoppy.
That's it ahead.
That's what ahead?
The Rio Andiendo.
The earth?
The disappearing river. It drops under the ground right there and never shows up again.
Consure nasty river, considering the country to the south. 120 miles of the gall-blamish, dry, buzzard-infested stretch of desert this side of Hades.
How do you feel?
Sore feet. Sore seat and a powerful thirst.
Well, we'll be down at Kit's ranch in a day or two.
If we ain't buzzard bait for them, which way you reckon we're going to push them cattle of his?
Right up through the desert past here.
I knew it. It's times like this when I know that I should have retired 10 years ago. If I'd had the brains of a jackass, I...
Now, don't underrate yourself. You're smarter than any jackass I ever knew.
Well, there's a nice run.
And it won't be much of a trek pushing 500 head up the arena.
All right, Hoppy. Just do me one favor. You ride back in the dragon, keep an eye out for straggling doggies. If you see one flatten its face in that alkali dust, just handle it gentle. Of course, it will be me.
come on. Let's get down to the stream and fill up our canteen. It'll be dark in a few minutes. We can cool off down there and hit the desert after sundown.
What's that?
Shots over there. Come on. No use, California. He's gone.
Did you get a look at his horse?
Too dark.
That critter was fast as a streak. Hey, what you picking up there in the trail?
Nothing. Where'd the shots come from?
Down there by the stream.
Come on, let's take a look.
Probably someone fucking at a jackrabbit.
Yeah? And why'd he ride off like a posse with that thing?
Well, that's a good question.
Wait, hold it.
Huh?
Look, leaning against that rock over there, next to the water.
You're right. It weren't a jackrabbit.
Come on. Well, I'll be...
Hoppy, a man.
Yeah, but look at him.
Red. He's red as a beet. His clothes, his face, everything.
Yeah, and he's not only red, he's dead.
It's 2 days now since the Shots and the fleeing horsemen led Hoppy and California to their amazing discovery at the edge of the Rio Andeando, the body of a man colored a brilliant red from head to foot. Meanwhile, at the ranch house of Kid Cavanaugh...
You know something, Kid? I don't think you're being very smart.
Why not?
Well, you'll never get anywhere with this outfit. You know that.
Well, I'm driving 500 ahead north in a couple of days, Cantrell. It's nothing to sneeze at. Besides, there's something else.
What's that?
You haven't told me why you want to buy me out.
What do you mean? I just finished telling you. Even if you are short of water, you've got some good grazing here. With my water, I can build this up to 1,000 head. Besides, I... need the right away.
Now, look, I've only been here a couple of years, but I think I know what's going on around here. A dozen ranches and one miserable town all squeezing out every drop of water there is. This country won't support one more beef critter than is here already. So don't you tell me you could put 500 head more on this place if you bought it.
I offered you a fair price, didn't I?
Yeah. Yeah, too fair. If you'd made it a couple thousand less, I might have thought you were on the square.
Okay, Kip. For now...
For now?
Yeah. Never can tell. Something might happen to change your mind.
What? Kid?
What is it, Martha?
I don't know. Something's wrong.
Huh?
The cattle out by the corral. They act like they're sick or something.
Sick?
You see what I mean, Kid?
No. No, I don't.
Well, just think it over, will you? By the way, your friend Cassidy's in town. I just saw him heading for the sheriff's office.
Now, take it easy, gents. If you think I'm going to swallow a crazy yarn about a blood-red corpse...
But that's just what it was, Sheriff.
We done buried him there, right by the river. Marked the grave with a heap of rocks.
Red?
His clothes, his hands, his face, everything. We'd have packed him down here, but we were loaded up already, and with 100 miles of desert to cross...
Yeah, but red. A dead man that's red ain't...
What's that, Sheriff?
Oh, this here's Doc Galloway. I sent for him when you told me about this.
Hello, Hoppy.
Howdy, Doc.
Doc, what'd you say if I told you these gents ran across a red corpse?
Red?
Yeah.
Where?
Rio Andeando, right where she disappears.
Near the water?
That's right.
It can't be. The Red Death.
The what?
The Red Death. It swept through this section years ago. Sort of a legend now, but it does have a basis of truth.
What are you talking about?
The springs, the water holes all through here suddenly turned red, became poisonous, killed humans, horses, everything. Like the plague. Probably a bacteria, some kind of germ that suddenly increased beyond all reason and...
Oh, this wasn't anything like that, Doc. It's man died from something else entirely.
44 either. Sudden concentration of lead in the sacroiliac.
He was shot. We got a glimpse of the killer as he rode off.
Well, I'll send a deputy up after the corpus delicti, and maybe we'll know more about this red business. Reckon we'll be able to find a grave if you marked it, like you say.
Poppy.
Kid, how are you, boy?
Well, okay, I hope, California.
Kid?
Well, you don't know how glad I am you're here.
Well, I'll be...
No, wait a minute, Doc. I want to see you, too. Want you to come out to my ranch, if you can.
What's wrong?
I don't know. A bunch of my cattle suddenly took sick like they were poisoned or something.
Poisoned?
Yeah. And a funny thing, that spring of mine, the water's running red. What do you make of it, Doc?
I don't know, Kit.
Come on, Doc, tell me.
Please, Doc.
Well, I'm afraid they are poison.
I knew it.
Martha, please.
I can't help it, Kit. It almost seems like something's working against me.
Look, dear, it's not going to help any.
Oh, I know it. I guess I'm just a coward or a quitter or something. It's just that it's happened this way every time. We build a lot of hope. We start out telling ourselves that this time we'll lick
Martha.
It.
Martha.
What's the world got against us, Kit?
Martha, you don't know how you're making me feel.
Not your fault, Doc.
I sold you this ranch.
You couldn't know about this.
I know that, but... Look, let me do this, will you?
What?
I'm all alone. I have no family. I've got plenty to get by on. What if we just forget there ever was a deal?
You mean you'd...
Doc!
Let me test the water first. We'll make sure before we go any further. If it's what I think it is, I'm willing to call it off. You know the old saying, satisfaction guaranteed or your money back?
Well, I don't know what to say, Doc.
Well, then... Don't say it.
I'll say this much. I don't do business that way. If I took on a load of poison water with this ranch, I'm stuck with it.
Kit.
I'm sorry, Martha.
Here comes Cantrell.
Yeah. Brace yourselves, everyone.
What's the verdict, Doc? Red paint?
If it is, you'll know soon enough, Cantrell.
Yeah?
When it hit this country last time, it took every ranch in the district.
Funny thing, Doc. I'm not worried at all. And Kit.
Yeah?
The offer's still good. You won't sell out. Only the price has changed. It goes down $1,000 a day until you make up your mind.
Maybe you'd better get out of here, Cantrell.
Sure, Doc. But just remember that, Kit. $1,000 a day.
Hoppy.
Yeah?
Would it hurt too much for you to wise me up or sit the goings on? Where are we headed?
There it is.
Sure is. What?
The Navajo Saloon. Finest drink emporium in Alta Mesa.
You going in on another sarsaparilla binge?
I want to talk to the proprietor. He's an old friend of mine.
For a teetotaler, you know more bartenders than any man living. Sometimes I got my doubts.
His name's Eustace. Eustace Culpepper. If he ran for president, I'd vote for him. Well, here we are. After you, California.
Thank you, Mr. Cassidy.
Well, Bill Cassidy.
Eustace.
Bill, your name's Hopalong.
He knew me when my name was Bill California. California Carlson, meet Eustace Culpepper.
Howdy. I'll be with you in a shake, Bill.
Sure, go ahead.
Now, Fred, what...
Sit down, California. Excuse me, stranger.
Not at all.
Coffee. What's this got to do with them pies and steers?
Not here. You new in town, stranger?
Just coming through.
My name's Cassidy. This is California Carlson.
I'm Mike Reardon.
Howdy.
Just passing through, you say?
That's right.
You in the cattle business, Reardon?
Nope.
I see.
Quiet in here, ain't it?
I like it quiet.
Yeah.
Now, Bill, or Hopalong it is now, huh? It was Bill when I knew him up north.
Nah, Eustace.
Oh, them were the days, eh, Hopalong? Let me tell you, he was a tiger at a church social.
Eustace ran the drugstore up north when I was a kid.
Well, is that so? Look, Eustace, maybe you and me could...
Oh, no, you don't, California. Tell me, Eustace, What did you do with your equipment when you gave up the drugstore and took to bartending?
Oh, still got it. Stashed away in the barn out back.
You remember anything about the drug business?
Sure do. No, I went into patent medicine for a while. Put out the slickest concoction you ever laid a tonsil on.
Mm.
Tasted wonderful. Wouldn't cure nothing, but I sold gallons of it.
You're just the fellow I'm looking for. Californian. You sit here with Mr. Reardon while Eustace and I take a trip out to the barn.
Just let her set till she clears up.
You sure you're right?
Why not?
Well, you haven't run a test like this for 30 years.
The equipment's rusty, but I ain't.
I hope not. This is pretty important.
Where'd you get this?
Down at Kit Cavanaugh's spring. His stock turned up sick this morning.
What makes you think it was...
I don't think anything yet. That's why I got you to drag out this equipment.
Yeah. Funny, ain't it? That pink color.
Yeah. How's it look now?
Well, might be able to... Yeah. Hold the lantern up so I can look through it.
There you are.
Oh. Hmm.
What about it?
You're right about that water bill.
What's in it?
Arsenic.
Hmm.
That answer your question?
That answers the little one.
What's the big one?
What's a dead man, colored red from top to toe, sitting by a stream 120 miles from here, got to do with a batch of sick cows on Kit Cavanaugh's ranch?
Well, now, that's quite a question.
Indeed it is, Eustace. Indeed it is.
It's late in the evening, and Hoppy and California return from Alta Mesa to Kit Cavanaugh's ranch at the edge of the desert.
Hoppy.
Yeah, Kit?
Do me a favor, will you? Stop pacing the floor.
Checking the motion. I'm getting nervous.
I'm sorry. This thing is beginning to get me.
It's simple enough. I bought myself a spring full of poison water.
It's not that simple.
Why not? This isn't the first arsenic well around here.
I bet it's the first one turned arsenic overnight. No, there's more to it than that.
Cantrell is still willing to buy.
You sell to him and I'll break your neck.
You're a little late.
Huh? You mean you...
No, I didn't sign anything. Not yet. But every day I wait costs me $1,000.
What did you tell him?
Said I'd be willing to talk business in the morning.
Now, wait a minute. You listen to me, kid.
I'm through listening to anyone. Whose ranch is it? Yours? Who's gone broke if the cattle die? You?
Kid.
Oh, I... Sorry, Hoppy. I guess I'm falling to pieces, what with Martha and all to think about.
Sure, I know. But there's something more to it. Something none of us know about. Look, the ranch goes sour. Spring runs poison. Get a look at Cantrell, willing to buy. And at a pretty good price, too. And Doc ready to give you back your money and take title for the spread. Does that make sense? No. I can't help feeling all of us has got something to do with that dead man we found up north.
I'm a doggone, Hoppy. How can that happen?
I don't know. Call it a hunch if you want.
Everybody's getting jumpy around here. Now, take that deadhead feller we sat with back at Eustace Culpepper's saloon.
What was that, California?
That feller we sat with.
What did you call him?
Deadhead.
Why deadhead?
Well, that's about the only thing he'd tell me. Don't know his business or nothing, but when I asked him how he got to Alta Mesa, he said something about he deadheaded in on the stage.
You're sure he said that?
Yeah, but what...
That's it. I knew there was a connection between that man at Disappearing River and this thing here.
What do you think?
I'm going down to the hotel. He's probably staying there. I want to talk to that bird right now.
Sorry, Mr. Reardon just checked out, and I don't know where he went.
Could he leave town?
I run the hotel here, not the transportation business. Now, I don't mind telling you I'm busy.
Yeah, sure.
Henry?
Yeah, Eustace?
Never get up to heaven that way, Henry.
What is it, Eustace?
Henry's straying a mite from the gospel. He knows he hustled Mr. Reardon out the back door of this flea bag not a half hour ago.
Eustace, show him.
Henry, I seen it with my own eyes. He rode off toward Lazy Sea Ranch with Steve Cantrell.
Thanks, Eustace.
Eustace, come here, Brian.
Now, you never busted your word to Cantrell, Henry. I mean, for that $5 you slipped it to shut up.
Wait.
After all, 'twas me that told Cassidy.
I don't like this, Cantrell. I'm not used to being shanghaied.
No bad feelings, Redden. Just want a little private talk, that's all. I know why you're here, and I think I can help you. That is, if you play along with me.
Go on, Cantrell.
I can deliver what you want tomorrow morning. At a price, of course. There's only one thing.
What's that?
When are you planning to make this thing public?
Tomorrow. I'm going to call a meeting of the cattlemen.
Suppose you were to hold off till I get this little thing of mine straightened out.
Can't do that.
I'm afraid you'll have to.
What kind of a remark is that, Cantrell?
Call it a threat if you want to. You're riding up to my ranch tonight, and you're going to stay there until... Wait a minute.
Go on, Cantrell. I'm interested, too.
Cassidy.
Go ahead. Reach for your gun.
Okay.
Better trot home to the Lazy Sea and soak your hand. We'll be seeing you at the cattleman's meeting tomorrow, Cantrell.
Maybe sooner than that, Cassidy.
The man talks tough.
Ah, you'll get over it. Now, what about you?
All right, what about me?
Don't you think you'd better tell me why you're here?
Sure. At the meeting tomorrow night.
You already gave yourself away, Redden. When you told my partner you deadheaded into Alta Mesa on the stagecoach. Only a railroad man would say that.
All right, so I'm a railroad man.
And the only reason I can see for a railroad man to be in Alta Mesa right now is to lay out the location for a railroad across the arena at De La Muerte. To maybe link up with the line on the West End.
You're a pretty good guesser.
I try to be. So when you start thinking railroad, you automatically start looking around for something Alta Mesa hasn't got. In quantity, at least.
Water.
That's right.
Okay, Cassidy, you win. It is the railroad and it is water. We sent a man here weeks ago to look the place over. Last we heard from him, he said he'd worked out a brilliant idea to find it for us.
Then what?
Nothing. He dropped out of sight.
I think I know where you'll find him.
Yeah?
In the back room of the sheriff's office. Stretched out on a table, covered from head to foot with red dye and pretty dead.
You mean?
Yeah. California and I found him 2 nights ago, 120 miles north of here, at the edge of the Rio Andante. You know, Ridden, that's something else we ought to take up at the cattleman's meeting.
Hiya, Cantrell.
Hiya, Doc. Good to see you.
All right. May I have your attention, please? You've already been told that the railroad I represent is planning a line across the Arena del Muerte to link up with the other side. I don't need to go into what that'll mean to this section. Here at the edge of the desert, a town will spring up that'll grow into one of the big cattle shipping centers of the Southwest. But all of our thinking up to now has run up against a stone wall. The one thing that keeps this section down, the thing that limits the number of cattle you can raise, the thing that keeps this town down to a crossroads is water.
That's right.
Every drop of water available here now is being used. We'll need 100 times as much if we're to think about running the railroad through here or building the town to go with it.
Now, how are you going to do that? Can't get water where there ain't none.
Now, let me draw a diagram on the blackboard here. Here's a triangle. At the point of it, at the top, is the spot where the Rio Andiendo disappears into the earth, 120 miles north of here.
Well, what good's that doing us?
If we could tap that river under the ground, we'd have all the water we need and more besides.
Oh, what do you think of that?
Now, along the bottom line of the triangle is the Alta Mesa country right here with its dozen or so ranches, all existing on the seats that come to the surface. The engineer we sent here a few weeks ago figured one of those seats might connect with the river itself under the desert. If we could find which one, it'd be simple to develop it, to drill down and tap the main stream. But which one of the seats?
There's a whopping lot of them.
So our engineer figured out a simple plan. He rode north to the point where the river disappears and poured red dye into it for 3 days. Sure enough, day before yesterday, the spring at one of the ranches here ran red. The Kit Cavanaugh Ranch out at the edge of the mesa.
Kit!
But, honey, our ranch.
Oh, Kit!
Mr. Cavanaugh now holds the development of this section in his hands. I hope we'll be able to work with him in following it through.
Just a minute, please. Just a minute. There's one thing more. Mr. Reardon left it to me to mention that the railroad engineer isn't with us tonight to see how his plan succeeded. Because someone in this room, who had an eye on the money that water'd bring here, murdered the engineer and left his body up there by the Rio Andiendo.
Say, right here.
I think we can find out who that is. His horse dropped a shoe on the trail up there right after the killing. He rode him over 120 miles of desert trail on a bare hoof. The left hind one. Everyone will keep his seat while my partner checks the horses at the tie rack outside. If the horse isn't there, we'll all stay right here while the ranchers are searched till we find him.
Let me out of here.
Hey, you got a gun.
Put down that gun, you.
Doc. Doc Galloway.
Gosh, Hoppy, I don't know how to thank you for all your...
Oh, forget it, kid. Let's think about those cattle we're going to start north tomorrow.
Boy. Oh, that's not... Doggone it, Hoppy, you sure pulled the rabbit out of the hat with that horseshoe. I was wondering what you picked up back there at the Rio.
Yeah? You know, seeing old Eustace Culpepper reminded me of something I learned when I was a kid. My mother made me go to Sunday school. Something in the Bible that says, the guilty flee when no man pursueth.
How come?
Well, you saw that horseshoe, didn't you, California?
No. Why?
That thing I picked up on the trail had been there since 49. And besides, it never belonged to a horse anyway. It belonged to a mule.
Up in California, hitting the trail homeward again. And after this little adventure, the Bar 20 is going to be a welcome sight. Hope you enjoyed this friendly visit and that you'll remember to tune in next time these two fighting cowboys get involved in another thrilling escapade. Up Along Cassidy, starring William Boyd, is transcribed and produced in the West by Walter White, Jr. The Red Death was written by Harold Swanton. All stories are based upon the characters created by Clarence E. Mulford. This is a Commodore production.
From April of 1950, it's been Hopalong Cassidy and the Red Death. Up next, Barry Craig, confidential investigator, and Hay is for Homicide, as this edition of Yesteryear continues.
Radio, remember radio.
If you have a favorite show or serial you'd like to hear on an upcoming edition of Radio Yesteryear, let us know. Email requests at radioyesteryear.org. That's requests at radioyesteryear.org. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
Barry Craig, confidential investigator, is one of the few detective radio programs that had separate versions of it broadcast from both coasts. NBC produced the program from its New York studios from 1951 to 1954, then moved the show to Hollywood, where it broadcast from 1954 through the end of the season in 1955. William Gargan, who also played the better-known television and radio detective Martin Kane, was the voice of New York private eye Barry Craig, while Ralph Bell portrayed his associate, Lieutenant Travis Rogers. Return with us now to those fabulous days of yesteryear with Hay is for Homicide from August of 1954. Another classic radio moment from the archives of yesteryear.
William Gargan stars as Barry Craig, confidential investigator.
Someone once said that murder is a fine art. There's a catch, though. If you're a successful artist, they hang your painting. If you're a successful murderer, they hang you.
The National Broadcasting Company presents William Gargan in another transcribed drama of mystery and adventure with America's number one detective, Barry Craig, confidential investigator.
Barry Craig speaking. Even confidential investigators need a vacation. Sometimes they've been known to take one. place I'd chosen was Vermont. The main reason for that was Jake. He was on vacation, too. He decided to come home and see if he'd been smart in abandoning Vermont to run an elevator on Madison Avenue. Say, Jake.
Yeah?
What's the verdict?
Madison Avenue.
Why? Is Madison Avenue dark and quiet like this?
Nope.
Is Madison Avenue surrounded by tall trees, cooled by gentle breezes, filled with the fragrance of unspoiled nature?
Nope.
Now, what's Madison Avenue got that this place hasn't?
Girls.
Well, you may be right. But... or you may be wrong. That came from directly up the road.
Nice night for hayride.
Is it?
Yep. Could have been a giggle.
Oh, rather loud giggle.
Girls got very loud giggles sometimes. Especially on a hayride.
Oh, Jake, stop pulling my leg. Hey, wait a minute. What's that in the road up ahead of us?
Hay wagon.
I refuse to believe it, but it is filled with hay.
Usually are.
There's a horse out in front of it, but where's the driver? Say, Jake, would he have gone off and left the wagon out in the middle of the road?
It ain't too likely.
Oh. I'm coming up on that wagon. That girl, if it was a girl, didn't giggle. She screamed. I'd better take a look around in the hay.
What for?
Anything larger than a needle. Yeah, there's plenty of hay up here.
Anything else?
No, I...
Mr. Craig?
I was rushing things. There is something else up here.
What?
A man. A very pale man.
What's he doing up there?
Nothing. Just being dead. Lay very still. His eyes stared up at the summer sky overhead, but saw neither the stars nor the moon. The moon that shone on him and on the metal handle of the knife that was buried in his heart. He was wearing overalls and a work shirt. His short hair outlined clearly the skull beneath. There was nothing I nor anyone could do for him.
Murdered?
Yes.
Anything on him?
No identification at all, Jake. We need a phone.
Past farmhouse, half mile back.
Now, let's go.
Think it's all right leaving him there?
He won't mind. The Vermont night was as quiet and peaceful as it had been before I heard the scream and a man died of a knife wound lying on a mound of hay. Nature doesn't concern herself too much about us and our doings, which is very bright of nature.
Got to turn off the road to get to that farmhouse.
Yeah. Oh, somebody ought to oil that gate.
Yeah. Whole house is pretty run down.
Jake, get down.
Ain't necessary.
Those shots.
Over our heads.
Her aim might improve.
Her aim?
Well, you can see her. Farmhouse window. This time it's not the farmer with the shotgun. It's the farmer's daughter.
Spoil a lot of stories that way. She's left the window.
Yeah. She knows she didn't hit either of us. Those shots were either a warning or possibly a yell for help.
How are you going to decide?
Well, if it was a warning, I don't think she'd have left the window. So it must be a call for help. Come on.
That was real logical, Mr. Craig.
Thanks.
Let's hope it turns out to be true.
No more shots, which did or didn't prove I'd been right, because the shooting would be better once we were inside the house.
First time I ever heard of targets knocking on the door.
The lady may have had all the target shooting she wants.
Who's there?
Barry Craig and Jake. Hello?
Barry Craig?
Yeah.
And Jake?
Me.
Either of you look very terrifying.
Is that bad?
No, it's nice. Please come in.
Thanks.
Please, make yourselves comfortable.
Nice room.
Rustic, perhaps, but I like it.
Do you like being a farmer? Or maybe I should say...
Farmer's daughter? Very much.
Almost as much as you like firing guns at strangers?
Well, but I didn't know whether you were strangers or...
Or what?
Or dead men.
Maybe she was what she claimed to be, a farmer's daughter. But if she was, somebody's been telling me lies about farms. Her hairdo was sleek, as though it had been just applied. Her fingernails had had a lot of professional attention. Her dress was so simple, it practically yelled Paris at you. And she didn't need any of these beauty aids. She would have been beautiful without them, but not nearly so expensive. You did say dead men.
Yes.
You often run across dead men walking around?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
You think I'm crazy, don't you?
I don't think you're crazy at all. You've just got a peculiar vision.
Not sure I ought to be grateful for that.
Oh, forget I said it.
My name is Millie George.
How do you do?
This is, or was, my father's farm. He was very happy here until the dead men started walking.
And then?
He became one of them himself.
Your father's dead?
Over a year now.
You live here alone?
Well, I don't really live here at all. I have an apartment and a job in town. But I come here often. As often as I dare.
Fingers idly traced a pattern in the inch-deep dust on the table next to my chair. Inch-deep dust. Millie George was very lovely. She told her ghost story neatly, but she was also a complete liar. I think maybe we'd better skip the Walking Dead for a minute. There's something more urgent that's got to be done. Where's your phone?
I'm afraid there isn't one. Father never cared for what he called mechanical murderers.
Murderers?
He meant things that killed time, interrupted work.
I see.
Destroyed quiet.
I see. That's too bad.
Why do you need a phone?
Jake and I ran across a hay wagon some distance down the road.
Oh?
There was a man in it. He wasn't walking around like the people you've been telling us about. He was lying down. But he was dead anyway. If I'd been looking for a reaction to my words, I would have been disappointed. Millie George took the news with not a flicker of anything except polite interest. But I wasn't disappointed. I'd expected that reaction. The police like to be told about stray corpses.
I suppose so. I think the gardeners have a phone.
Where would I find them?
Well, their house is about a quarter of a mile further down the road.
Oh, good. Jake.
Ready?
By the way, this man, what did he die of?
A knife in his heart.
Oh, suicide?
The angle of the knife's entrance wouldn't be right for suicide.
Oh, then it was...
Murder.
How dreadful.
Yes, terribly dreadful. So long. So far as Millie George was concerned, murder belonged in pretty much the same category as a run in a pair of new nylons. You said how dreadful and bought another pair. You couldn't do exactly the same thing with a damaged life, though.
Mr. Craig.
Yeah?
Millie George said the gardener's house, the one with the phone, was down the road that way.
That's what she said, Jake.
Then why are we going this way?
I want to take another look at that hay wagon.
Once wasn't enough?
I think maybe there's been a change.
Less hay?
Less corpse. It was a nice road to be taking a stroll on in the cool evening. It would have been an even nicer road if there hadn't been a hay wagon in the middle of it.
Still there.
Yeah. The horse must be getting lonely.
Being a farmer, you get a wrong angle on a horse. You don't think being a horse's chum is romantic.
I'll never say hello to a horse again. Excuse me. Oh.
You get in pretty spry at climbing hay wagons, Mr. Craig.
Just practice, that's all.
Mr. Craig.
Hmm?
Count in the hay up there?
No, just confirming a guess.
Less corpse?
No corpse. I'd thought back at Millie George's house that the shots might have been a warning or maybe a call for help. I know now they'd been neither. What they actually had been were distractions.
Mr. Craig, maybe he wasn't really dead.
Jake, they don't get any deader.
Ain't likely you'd be fooled. Somebody moved him out of there.
Yeah.
But what for? Can't be many folks enjoy dragging corpses around.
Whoever dragged this one maybe didn't enjoy it at all.
Well, what was he trying to do? Save undertaker's expenses?
Maybe he was trying to save his neck. I got down out of the hay wagon and said goodbye to it. We wouldn't be coming back that way.
Mr. Craig.
What is it, Jake?
Funny thing about city people, they like to walk.
Oh?
They do it deliberate, even when they don't have to.
Well,
Country people hate to walk.
But, Jake, we've got to get back to that farmhouse.
With the girl in it?
Yeah, Millie George.
We're hoping that this time maybe she won't shoot over our heads.
We're hoping that this time she won't shoot at us at all.
And for this, we're wearing our feet down clear at the ankle?
Oh, it's not as bad as that.
It's worse. I got short ankles.
Oh.
Mr. Craig, I can tell you right now, she don't have a phone.
I know, but by this time, she may have something else.
Do I want to know what it might be?
Not in your condition, you don't.
Thanks.
We didn't have much farther to go, which was just as well. Jake had started groaning at every step. Next to Jake's snores, Jake's groans are the surest recipe for punctured eardrums.
Oh,
you can stop groaning, Jake. Huh? We're at the house.
Oh, dear, if I got strength enough to lift my head. I am at the house.
Think you can make it inside?
Oh, dear. I can try.
Fine. Jake.
It
doesn't look as if anyone's going to invite us in.
This don't make me feel bad.
We'll go in without an invitation.
Now I don't know how I feel.
Find out later. Well, somebody left the lights on.
Wasn't a Vermont man. Quiet.
Yeah, let's try the parlor.
Oh, anything for an excuse to keep a walking.
I suppose this is the parlor.
Nobody in here. It's the parlor.
I don't like this much. The only thing left for us to do now is sit down.
Excuse me while I cheer.
Well, what are you waiting for? Go ahead, Grandpa. Cheer.
Company.
So I notice. Kind of thing you're liable to run into in old houses. They come out of the woodwork, I think.
Don't try to insult me, mister.
Why not?
Anything you're liable to say is liable to be true.
Don't be foolish. I don't use that kind of language.
You also ain't using the kind of language I would like to hear.
What language would that be?
The one telling me where the baby is buried?
A boy or a girl, baby?
Jake.
Oh, that grandpa's a joker. Grandpa could easy get his head knocked off.
Put the gun down, son, and Grandpa will be glad to tangle with you.
I ain't putting no guns down. And when I say baby, you know what I mean.
You mean something worth money?
Oh, you are a bright one. Okay, so where is it?
Even if I knew where it was, I wouldn't tell you.
Why not?
You've got the wrong RH factor.
Wrong? Well, supposing I could get a hold of the right one.
It wouldn't buy you the time of the day from me.
Language like that's got guys killed before this, mister.
So have guns like that.
This is kind of fancy, but it ain't very productive.
What makes you think I know anything about the baby?
You're in this dump, ain't you?
I'm in it.
So what are you doing here? Looking for a beer?
It so happens I'm looking for a corpse.
Well, you're gonna find one. Your own. Only ain't gonna be no condition to appreciate it.
Funny thing, you didn't show any interest in the corpse I'm looking for. Whose it might be, say?
Hey, mister, corpses is dead. They don't bother me. It's the live operators you gotta keep in mind. Like you and Grandpa.
How about the girl?
You just leave her out of this. She's for me.
Oh? And why do you think I was called in?
Hey, wait, mister. You trying to tell me you was called in by...
By the girl, yes.
That don't smell so good.
Neither do you. Let's call it a draw and go home.
You were saying the girl brought you in, huh? Okay. We find out fast. Hey, sugar! Come here, sugar. This joker informs me you brought him in on the deal. That so?
No.
I had a long look at the girl who'd come into the room.
It was fun while it lasted. She was worth looking at. She was beautiful, non-rural, undoubtedly expensive, and she was not Millie George.
Well?
Call it mistaken identity.
Oh, cut it out, Dina. I don't know what you think he said, but it wasn't very funny.
It wasn't?
It wasn't.
Oh.
This girl probably is on your side. She's not the one I was talking about.
You mean there's been another babe around?
Oh, honey, he must mean Joey's wife.
Why don't you forget you ever learned to talk, Dina?
That ain't a friendly attitude.
I ain't feeling friendly. Joey makes it out of the pen, ducks for cover here, and a counter here is where he buried the baby.
Banks wouldn't like you calling their money baby.
Well, I don't like banks.
So it was bank money. Thanks for telling me.
Who told you? Never mind. To resume. Joey gets here, and the first thing anybody knows, he winds up with a knife and a ticker. This is bad.
It ain't good.
Shut up.
You can't say that to a Vermont man.
Why not?
I don't rightly remember.
Well, get in touch with me when you do.
What, Sal?
Now, will you lay off? You guys trying to confuse me or something? Joey winds up with a knife and a ticker and no dough.
Look, ain't you forgetting Joey's wife?
Hey, yeah. If she was around here, maybe she met him even before we got here, grabbed the dough off of him, and then handed him a knife, huh?
Fine wife.
Nah, she never liked him so much. After she found out he was a bank operator.
She was prejudiced against banks?
She was prejudiced in favor of banks.
Narrow-minded woman.
So, I'm thinking maybe she's the one we got to get our hands on. And when did you see her?
A little while ago.
Where?
Here.
Well, she ain't in the house. We went all through it. If she knifed Joey and scrambled the dough, we better get after her.
Brady's a scream, ain't he?
Don't disturb my mental processes, huh? There wasn't no car around before, which means she must have headed for a village and railroad station. Okay, now we know where we're going.
Oh, I think we do.
That reminds me. What about you guys?
Well, we'll hang around and play some pinochle. I've been wanting a good pinochle game.
Dina, what do you think?
I think you're a big dope.
Oh, what kind of remark is that?
Oh, you believe too easy. Joey's wife would maybe stick up Joey, but she wouldn't take the bank's money.
Yeah, could be right. Yeah, but maybe...
These characters, you ought to...
Don't pay any attention to her, Brady. She's a bitter woman.
You shut up.
You know what I say? I say get rid of them, and then we'll have lots of time to find the money.
You could be right.
She could also be wrong.
All right, so she's wrong. What do I lose if she's wrong?
Mr. Craig's life and mine?
In my line of business, I can't afford to be sentimental. If you die for nothing, I should be sorry. But not very sorry and not for very long. Okay, here.
Please, Brady.
Huh?
Not while a lady's in the room.
Oh. Excuse me, Dina.
Sometimes I think you ain't got no manners.
I said, excuse me. There's a nice, refined girl. You know, never even packs a rod. Well,
Brady.
Yeah?
You're an idiot.
Well, that could be.
You think Dina's really going to wait for you? In that car outside?
Well, sure. Me and her is personally very friendly.
That was before the bank money came up.
Why shouldn't she wait for me?
And share your execution?
Who's getting executed? I knock you guys off, we find a dough, we get out of here. Nobody knows who's even around.
Dina gets out of here, you mean? You don't. The cops will pick you up in a few hours.
Hey, you keep saying she won't wait for me.
That's what I keep saying, because it's the truth. Would you like to test her before sticking your neck away out?
What kind of test?
Fire two shots into the floor.
What for? I got nothing against the floor.
Oh, forgive me. I've got brains enough to be an idiot. Fire these shots, and it'll sound to Dina as though you shot Jake and me. Then if she waits for you, fine. You can go ahead with your original plan. But if she doesn't wait, if she scrams as soon as she hears those shots...
Hey, it's an idea. You know, it's even a good idea. Okay, boys, just don't get alarmed. Yeah, you shouldn't have insulted Dina. She's okay. Just for insulting her, I'd kill you anyway.
Shut up. Listening, Brady?
Hey! Dina! Hey, Dina!
A man betrayed.
Craig. Craig, you was right. I feel terrible.
You should.
But I don't understand Dina crossing me like that. What'd she get out of it?
How much money was in the bank job?
Hey, around 30 grand.
She gets 30 grand out of it.
Huh? But she...
Were you and she together all evening?
Well, no, but...
You came down to this house? Why?
We figure this is where Joey's going to head. Once we hear he's departed from the pen. But Joey don't show. Then you tell me Joey is now a corpse.
Pretty plain what happened. One way or another, Joey latched onto a pair of overalls and a work shirt, plus one wagon filled with hay. He dug up the money from wherever he'd hidden it and headed for this house. But before he got here...
He runs into trouble.
He ran into Dina.
Now it begins to clear up. And Dina takes him for the dough, huh?
She takes him.
I could have figured it out for myself.
Yeah, all you needed was Mr. Craig's brains.
Better he should have them. What would I do with them?
You've got a point. And so is your head.
Please, Grandpa. Dina does not wish to share this here dough with me, so she tries to get me to knock you guys off, then get picked up by the cops while she's traveling very fast in my car. Hey, this is revolting.
It is.
You know, you do very good guessing.
No guessing.
No? How'd you know Joey was an escaped con?
I mentioned the fact that he was pale and that his hair had been cut short. That was enough. Farmers don't work indoors in the summer. They couldn't be pale. And why did Joey dress up like a farmer? Because he wasn't one. Escaped convicts are pale, have short hair, and seek a disguise.
You know something, Craig? You're so smart, I'm beginning to worry.
What about?
What kind of security is us criminals going to have with private eyes like you go around being smart all the time?
The same kind of security you've always had. No security.
Just don't dwell on that there. I got something else to worry about. I got to figure out a way to get a hold of Dina before she scrammed out of the country with that dough.
But Brady...
Huh?
Dina doesn't have the money. Brady had a little trouble with this. Even Jake began to look worried. As far as I was concerned, I hoped. Because I could turn out to be wrong, and being wrong in a case of this kind was only one short step before being dead.
But you figured it all out yourself.
Logically.
That Dina was the one who knocked off Joey and took the dough.
What you're forgetting, Brady, is that there can be more than one logical explanation for anything.
He means just because something's logical don't prove it's true.
Oh.
And then, of course, logic can be twisted. As twisted as your mind, Brady.
You leave my mind out of this. It's got its own troubles. Please explain.
Well, Joey was a desperate man running from the police. He was also a man owning $30,000. He was finally a man in a hurry.
So?
How would Dina have persuaded a man in those circumstances to let her get close enough to him to stab him?
Well, maybe...
There's no way.
Well, somebody got close enough to him.
Of course. Somebody who was armed with a weapon that was dangerous at a distance. A gun, say.
Oh, so Dina...
No. You yourself told us Dina never carried a gun.
Joey's wife.
Wouldn't have needed to take the chance of killing him on the road. She could have waited till she had him here.
You know something? I said you were so bright I was beginning to get worried. I ain't beginning no more. I'm worried.
So you admit you were the one who stabbed Joey and took the money?
Yeah, sure.
Dina scrammed just now because she was afraid you didn't intend to share the money with her, but instead would kill her the same way you'd kill Joey.
Could be.
She realized you'd hidden Joey's body to gain time for doing just that.
It won't do her much good. I know where she goes when she's scared. But before that...
You can't shoot us.
Why?
Well, I don't know, frankly, but give me a little time and I'll think of something.
Too bad, Grandpa. I ain't giving you no time at all.
Oh, for a fellow who's just been shot, I feel fine.
You weren't shot, Jake. Come on in, Miss Millie. I spotted her behind those drapes a long time ago. I was looking for her. The trouble with you, Jake, is that you spent so much time thinking about the farmer, you forgot about the farmer's daughter. It didn't quite end there, though. The police removed the debris, put out a pickup for Dina, and then...
Barry?
Yeah?
I really am a farmer's daughter.
I know.
So?
Yeah?
How about some country cooked ham?
Hmm.
You have been listening to William Gargan in another exciting transcribed mystery drama from the adventures of Barry Craig, confidential investigator. Tonight's story, Hay is for Homicide, was written by Louis Vittes. The National Broadcasting Company has just brought you transcribed an NBC Radio Network production with William Gargan starring as Barry Craig, confidential investigator. Directed by Arthur Jacobson. Also heard, Harley Bear, Joyce McCluskey, Jack Moyles, and Bebe Janis. John Lang speaking.
From August of 1954, it's been Barry Craig, confidential investigator with Hay is for Homicide. Well, that's all the time we have today, but join us again next week and invite a friend to listen to more great moments from the golden age of radio. I'm Craig Roberts with those fabulous days of yesteryear. Till next time, so long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. The comedy, mystery, the fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, I miss you, sodio, vodio, dodio, do. Radio, I miss you so.
The preceding program, copyright Edgewater Productions, all rights reserved.